Final hour, fist pump time in the club. Ruben on the light, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell, live in Oxnard, California, on your home of the Rangers. And it is deadline day on DFW Sports Station, brought to you in part by Best Buy Windows and Siding. The CeeDee Lamb interview already happened during the 720 Expressway. And getting ready to... Can you shut up?
No.
And getting ready to sit down with us in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat is Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone, off of a 6-3 win last night. And we have another deal on deadline day.
Yeah, it looks like Shane Bieber heading to Toronto. Toronto has got the best record in the American League, and they are picking up a starting pitcher. So Biebs on the way north of the border.
Ken Rosenthal is reporting, thanks to the Tolos who are sending us all the latest rumors. Ken Rosenthal is reporting that the Rangers are after relievers. St. Louis Cardinals' Phil Maton, and Kansas City's Hunter Harvey. They also like David Bednar from Pittsburgh, but believe the price will be too steep. And the Colorado Rockies' Jake Bird is another possibility. So we got Maton, Harvey, Bird as Ranger relieving opportunities.
And it looks like the Tigers are getting Paul Sewald, who's a right-hander from Cleveland. So trades galore happening right now.
Yeah, I if Maton is the one, that just feels a little like on brand for some of the relief options they've had recently, like Luke Jackson and stuff like that, where it's like guys who had peaked and peaked or having a big year that are not in line with what they've typically been. So I don't know how much I'd love that one.
Brett Boone is going to join us here on Sean and RJ, brought to you by Granger. Do you have any thoughts on those relieving names, or you have not heard of any of them?
Oh, no. Maton was with Houston for a while. I mean, so he's pitching some big games. I just hadn't seen him in about 2 years. But, you know, he had been pitched in quite a few big games. This is where they're going to be, though.
His nickname is Spin Rate, according to Baseball Reference.
This is where they're going to be. They're going to play in these shallow waters. They're not going to go, I don't think, obviously, in the deep end. There really isn't a whole lot of deep end left anyway. Obviously, you want to go get Bednar. We've known for a while that he is going to be extremely expensive from a prospect standpoint.
What?
I don't know why he's like that. We all known, and then he had like had to correct. I just thought it was funny. I don't know. It was funny. He had to correct it. Just made me laugh the way he said it at first. I thought he was just talking funny. I don't know.
We all knew.
Yeah, there we go.
That he was going to be expensive.
There you go.
Bednar, at least. We all knew he was going to be expensive. I think this is what we should be expecting. This is these kind of moves if they're going to do this.
Brett Boone is supposed to join us, brought to you by Granger. For the ones who get it done, Granger offers the professional-grade products you need, delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by, and we'll see if we can track him down. But what happened, Choppy? Where's your boy at?
I don't know. I mean, let's see. They probably landed in Seattle 3 hours.
Look,
if 4 hours ago.
But he wanted to come on, right?
Yeah, he did.
If this was the NFL trade deadline and Jerry didn't show up for a scheduled interview, what would we all be saying? They're making a move.
Something's happening.
So they're making a move.
Now,
that's what that tells me.
Possibility that he did not recognize the time change. Although he would have been on that time anyway, because I said to him, switch the time so we can move you to Thursday at 9 a.m. And he goes, yep.
Okay.
He may have thought it was still 9:20, though.
Oh,
he may just thought you were saying the Thursday
9 a.m.
But like, he may have just thought you were saying the 9 a.m. hour.
Well, I mean, I think 9 a.m. would be 9 a.m.
ESPN has this great collection of stories, trade deadline stories from general managers and how they were executing them and trying to get them done. We have weddings. We have funerals. We have hospital visits where all these guys are sitting there frantically trying to get deals done. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, my God. Like GMs at weddings trying to get deals done?
Yep.
See, there's no life. There is no life. If you're a general manager, if you're a
coach, what do you tell the wife, you know? How do you get out of that?
Yeah, like whose wedding is it? Whose wedding is it?
Carter just made the money sign.
Yeah, but if it's your kid's wedding, you're not getting. There's no money that you're getting. You're not. There's no amount of money you're getting out of that.
But so, like, this says they missed them, or they were trying to like coordinate all of it while they're physically present for it.
They're doing it while physically
so
present.
So that's not that bad. You just be like, I gotta hop on a call and like make a move. Real quick.
They're going to take in bathroom visits just to sit there and like try to update the deal. Have someone else hold the steering wheel.
Yeah,
that's why Shams doesn't drive.
That's right. Yeah, he's constantly tweeting.
All right, let's get to Texas Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Are you okay? Did you just wake up? You got to be exhausted.
Oh, no, we got in late. We got in about 4 our time.
Oh, no.
What time is it now? 7? Yeah, 3 hours ago. But yeah. You know what? For you guys, Eddie, even though I'm a few minutes late.
Yes. Well, we'll go ahead and take it. So, Brett, it's trade deadline day. Like, just what is the atmosphere? What is the feeling around the team? How do you handle this as a player? And now, how do you handle this as a coach with the Rangers? Obviously, a team that's in the spotlight.
Well, you know, it's been really interesting. There's been more talk about it. From a coaching perspective, you know, we're kind of looking at each other. Hey, we're going to do something. We know they're trying to do something. And a lot of times at this time of the year, it comes down to your package versus the other teams that are in, you know, that are buying their package offered to the team for the player. So it's not always, oh, they don't want to trade with a certain team. It's no, the prospects on this team, we wanted, we're better, fit our system mm-hmm. better. So, you know, I haven't noticed the players really talking about it or noticing. It's kind of business as usual. It's like, no, these are the guys in this room. This is what we're going with. We think we're really good, and there hasn't been much talk. It's been more talk amongst the coaching staff. Hey, are we going to get somebody? You know, everybody's watching. Duran went, and then the kid from St. Louis went, the closer.
Helsley.
Helsley. So it's been more of the coaches talking about it, and the players really. There hasn't been much chatter about it at all. Maybe you know to each other, but I haven't heard anything about it. And that's kind of the best scenario. It's like I remember as a player, a lot of deadlines came and went. In some years, we really were, you know, we kind of how we need. Just one piece, we're one piece away, and we'd be watching that ticker down to the end and disappointed sometimes, and sometimes they came through and got a player that we needed on a particular team. But I remember those deadlines, like, come on, you know, just kind of being a thing. But really, I haven't noticed it with these guys. I really haven't noticed it. And I think that's because they won a World Series a couple of years ago. It's so fresh and so close. Like, hey, we did it with this group. But we'll see. We'll see what happens today. It should be interesting.
So if CY came to you and said, Brett, you know, you get a blank slate, you get the full cupboard, would you want a contact guy? Would you want a power guy? You know, if you had your choice.
You mean on the offensive side?
Yeah.
I'd want a contact guy. I need a right-handed, you know, maybe someone right-handed. I don't know. I want the best player. If I can have anybody, oh. I don't know. I'm probably going to go with a contact guy right now.
Did you ever, Brett, when, you know, you talked about how trades would come through and sometimes you'd be sitting there going like, oh, did it come through? Did we get it? Or disappointed you didn't get something? What about that other angle of it, though, of... Did you ever sense guys that maybe were internalizing concern that they were going to get traded and maybe it affected them at the plate? And is that anything you feel like as a coach right now, maybe you do have to kind of look out for as the guy who may be silently like kind of stewing over, man, I don't want to get dealt or I'm kind of nervous about these things?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think any of these guys are worried about that at all. I don't. If so, they're keeping it to themselves really well. I mean, I feel zero you know, I'm not getting that vibe from anybody that they think they're going to be dealt. And I don't know that we're, you know, you never say never because you never know. But I would be surprised if somebody got dealt on this team. That's you know, one of the pieces on this team that, that is important to us right now. I'd be really surprised. But I don't get that sense at all from these guys. Like I said, it's kind of business as usual. And I'm kind of, surprised I'm not hearing anything, from players as far as what we're going to do. It's been interesting because, I remember back to deadlines that as a player, we kind of were talking about it. But maybe it's something they're talking about and not sharing with coach. But usually I hear what they're talking about, usually I hear that. And no, surprisingly been quiet.
Brett Boone joining us here on 105 through 10. Brett, we've all been really impressed since Josh Young came back up. He just looks like he's seeing the ball a whole lot better than he was when he had gone down. Wyatt has been doing really well at the plate right now. Just talk about the adjustments those guys have made, but specifically Young, how he's handled coming back up to the majors.
Yeah, well, Josh, I was really happy for him. He came back his first game, hit a home run. Because you see players like Josh, who's been a key part of this team. And then all of a sudden, you kind of lose it and you get sent down. That's kind of the extreme where I'll guarantee you going into the season, Josh Young, the last thing he thought in his mind were, I'm going to be in the minor leagues at some point, but I went through it. I try to share my experience and things I've done with players when something like that happens. But he went down, he came back up, and I was really happy for him, really proud of him that he came back. And the first night back, he hits a big home run. And ever since then, I think he's hitting every game since he's been back here playing great defense at third base. And he's kind of just come back and done it real quietly. He just kind of came back, went about his business, getting the job done, coming in, doing his work. He's simplified some things in his prep before the game. It's been short, concise, and I'll tell you, it's like he didn't miss a beat. It's like he was the Josh Young of two years ago and going about his business, smiling, having a good time, fitting right in like he never left. So I'm happy for him. Wyatt, he's just that man. You look at Wyatt, look at that skill set and that potential, and one day this guy's going to be. I call him Little Bo Jackson because he's got that much talent, and he's fun to watch. He's going to be something when it all clicks for him. And in the meantime, he's a really good player. And the last two or three days, you see him get it going. He went through a little bit of a lull there, but that's what Wyatt does. He gets hot and then he loses a little bit, but it's fun to watch him when it starts to click. Lately, it's been clicking, and he's been doing a good job in the game. So we'll see. It's been a year like that where it seems like a couple guys get going, and then a couple guys get cold, and a couple guys get going, and a couple guys get cold. But overall, as an offense, watching these guys on the daily, I'm really excited and pleased with how they're coming along, and. Early on, we'd get down in the game, and it seemed like, man, are we gonna make a run and come back at them? It seems like now every time, if we get down in a game, we answer back every time. So I think these guys are starting to get going at the right time. They've been there, done that before. The experience is plenty on this team, so I'm not worried about that. And right now, I think offensively, from what I'm seeing, from what everybody's seeing, this is a lot better team than the way we played starting the season, and I think we're starting to heat up at the right time. I think we're going to make a great push. This is a really good team.
Hey, man, thank you so much for changing up the schedule. We appreciate you. They won again the night before your appearance,
yep.
So let's keep it going.
Believe me, I thought about that last night. I said, well, they changed to Thursday for a reason. Guys, I apologize. I apologize for getting on here late. I set my alarm. It was going off. It was ringing.
No.
And then I slept through it. I hit the snooze, and it was 7:04, but we got on there late night. But, hey, glad to always come on the show with you guys. Let's go out and have a good series here with the Mariners.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Love you. The great Brett Boone, Rangers hitting coach, brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. The birthday boy on Brian Schottenheimer having enough of his football team. Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com after this. We have so much to get to. And we have a half of the commercial break discussion on air that we just had off air. It'll be electrifying with Tommy Yarsh. DallasCowboys.com brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. But despite all the content I have, Tommy said, don't worry, I got the beginning of the segment.
Yeah, I do. RJ Choppy.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, why did me?
What are we doing, man?
What I do?
What are we doing here? I mean, look at this. Oh, not this one. Hold on. Look at this. He's on the. You're on the. What prompted this?
Oh,
goodness gracious!
I was just stretching out my.
I was trying to find the original video, but I couldn't find it. I remember seeing. I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
Now, Tommy, we're doing radio, so you have to describe to our audience so what the picture is.
I'm sorry. That was bad radio. I apologize.
I just want to make you uncomfortable.
The folks on the fan cam saw it. But this is RJ Choppy seemingly photoshopped into a strip club.
I wouldn't know
what dry humping
like.
The ground.
Like, oh, there it is.
I don't know. Like,
he said it. He said it.
Yeah. I don't know what the thought process was there. I don't know if you're is that some like awkward stretch, like what are we...
That is, I believe they call that
the twerk,
Mandukasana. It's a frog pose.
Okay, I got
it's a frog pose.
The thrusts were
that was just me twerking.
That was impressive. Oh, okay. They were all sitting here stretching, and Chia follows like, really impressive, Choppy. And I was like, there's nothing impressive about it. he's like on his elbows and his knees. But what was impressive was the movement,
the hip movement.
Yeah,
it was just a regular frog pose trying to really stretch out my hip flexors.
Hip flexors
inside.
Was
it the adductor or the abductor? That's the inside of the leg.
Sure.
I think it's the adductor.
Yeah.
Stretch that out.
Sure.
And then I decided to just do a little bit of a, you know, just
I like the
bounce. Yeah. I like the bounce. Okay. You know, I'm a bouncer.
He was just practicing. He was practicing his dance moves for, we all knew we were going to go crazy. We were going to rage at your birthday party last night.
Yeah.
We knew that we were going to all be in the bar going nuts.
Oh.
And I'm surprised we all made it to work this morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Certainly, that's exactly what happened. We definitely didn't leave at 10 o'clock when the bar closed.
I think Bobby's trying to say, why wasn't
he
invited?
Why aren't we all there?
So first of all, it was a surprise party.
So who's responsible for the party?
Who do we need to blame?
It was concocted 2 hours before it happened.
By
my good buddy Zach Bush, who works for the Cowboys social media team. Nick Harris got looped in on it late. So we just had a smaller group there. Again, I had no idea that it was going on. So I wish you guys would have made it.
How old did you turn?
22.
A surprise.
See, 22 is not worth, no offense to you, 22 is not worth like a surprise party. But that shows.
At 25 or 26.
But that shows an extra level of care that they would do that for you.
I have some great friends, man.
That must mean something.
Yeah, it means the world to me. It was a lot of fun, and I really appreciated it. Now I'm excited to get up here with you guys,
man,
and talk some ball.
And your mom's birthday's tomorrow?
My mom's birthday's today. So, happy birthday, Mom.
I just got the ball thing. Good job.
Yeah.
It sounded natural from him. You just don't like it from me.
Yeah, talking ball, man. I'd love to do it.
Well, you're a ball thrower.
Yeah.
God,
I try to know ball, right?
There you go.
Tommy.
There you go. Atta boy.
Tommy, don't make me retract. Don't make me retract your birthday. Let's talk it.
The wrong guy's getting mad.
Yeah. Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com here on The Fan. What stood out to you from practice yesterday?
Really, I thought it was a good day for Dak. You know, I think that we saw kind of the red zone drills early. I think they were really efficient there, and we were kind of talking about it on training camp live. Is like the red zone offense last year was a pain sometimes, right? And they would get there, but it would kind of be one of those things where I certainly had this watching Texas the last 3 years. Like Sark would go to the red zone, and you'd be like, "All right, field goal coming up," and so. With Dallas at times last year, it was kind of the same thing. But, you know, back-to-back reps where Dak finds CD and George Pickens in the corner of the end zone, it's exactly what you want to see. And then when you go into the full team drills, just really efficient, moving the football around. Jake Ferguson had a couple catches, where, especially the one in the corner of the end zone where he went up strong and went and got it. So always good. I think slowly but surely everything's starting to click, right? Like CD told you guys this morning that it takes about 2 weeks for you to really settle in, and we're only about a week and a half, but we're getting close to there, and you can tell that he's kind of settling in, because I think those first couple of practices were roller coasters for Dak, but I think he's settled in now, and Jaden Blue getting some first team run too. That was very interesting. Yeah. And
you're earning a lot of brownie points, man. you got the ball reference, and then locally, what that would have been 5:20 a.m. after your birthday party. You're referencing and dropping the show. This is good.
Yeah,
this is very good.
I definitely woke up at 5:20 to listen to it. And didn't just watch it back on YouTube before I came over.
It doesn't matter. You watched it.
Yeah.
I don't care when you watched it.
That's a guy who knows ball right there. Tommy Irish, professional ball knower, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. God, dude, that was a dead shot.
Hold on. Okay. So you just creamed my face. Whoa.
Hey, so I threw
a creamer.
That's what I said.
At his head.
So what? Well, you told me the other guy, RJ was going to get mad.
Sean.
RJ doesn't get mad at douchey things.
Yeah.
I am douchey.
He does douchey things.
I do douchey things. Like I say abbreves. Do you use abbreves?
Abbreviates?
Yeah. Do you abbreviations? Do you abbreve things?
I mean, sometimes, maybe, yeah. I don't know. I don't think about, like, I'm going to abbreviate this.
He says totes, and instead of protein, he's like, I got to get my protes.
If we were going to dinner tonight, you say, do we need a reservation, or did someone get a resi?
Or a res?
A reservation.
Thank you. Exactly.
I'd never say resi.
You know? Really?
Thank you, Tommy.
No, not at all.
What do you call the highest level of high school sports?
Varsity?
You wouldn't say you're playing, I'm on VAR?
You see?
No, man. What?
Although you have a name.
I've never even heard of that.
Although you have a name I wonder about. Would you prefer, do you ever prefer Tom?
No, I can't do Tom because Tom is my dad. I'm junior.
What about Thomas?
So, Thomas, that's the government name. So I don't.
Because like, there's going to come an age. Like, can you be over 40 with a Y at the end of your name?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like Bobby and Tommy. You know, it's like you're getting ready to go outside and make s'mores. You know?
I like s'mores.
What's wrong with s'mores?
Yeah, because you're 22. But what not when you're 42?
I still like s'mores. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
They're good. I guess the Y names aren't memorable because he doesn't even remember I was their intern on the show back like 15 years ago. Now,
you weren't.
Yeah, I was.
Sorry to throw that off track.
Practice. No, that was exactly what we needed. That's what Oxnard's for.
Isn't s'more brief?
Just shut up.
No. It's a smushing together. Some more, s'more.
It's an abbreviation to me.
No, it's just a slurring of words. All right. So, Tom, yesterday practice, we were curious about where the first team reps were going to come from. Steven told us Nate Thomas was going to end up getting the first team reps at left tackle, which was, I think, maybe kind of a surprise that was going to be the primary guy. What did you think of him yesterday? It looked like he was holding his own for the most part, didn't have a whole lot of problems out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to our first or second press conference with Shoddy, kind of unprompted, he brought up, like, hey, we're excited about Nate Thomas. I thought it was interesting. I was like, okay, you know, that might just be coach speak or something like that, you know, trying to hype up a guy that's coming back from injury. But, I mean, you saw it yesterday. I think he was solid. And obviously you got to stack days together, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just have one good day and all of a sudden you're good at left tackle, right? And especially when it's one of the most important positions in football. But for kind of being thrown in there, a guy coming off an injury and a lot on his shoulders, I think, you know, that's a high-pressure moment because everybody's talking about you. Everybody's saying, hey, this is our guy right now. And you should put it right, Bobby. I think he held his own, and I think he had some good reps.
A lot of talk about physicality yesterday. Schottenheimer said the best thing you can do for any offensive line when you're playing an elite D-line, pound the freaking football, just freaking try to shove it up their ass. And that's what we're going to try to do. The injuries, we talked to you on Tuesday about the injuries being up 300% through the first six practices at camp, and he goes, so what? We need to have a physical camp. We need to pop, hit, and thud. And then yesterday, of course, he shut it down because of the pushing and the shoving and made everyone run. What did you think of all that?
Yeah, I thought I kind of chuckled because I was like, man, this feels like, you know, a high school football practice where someone does the same. Someone messes up and, you know, coach just says get on the line. But, no, I mean, you want to be a disciplined football team, and you can't be undisciplined like that. You're going to get penalties. You're going to get in a game setting, right? That could cost you a game. It could cost you a drive. And so, you know, I credit Brian Schottenheimer for holding his guys accountable. And, you know, nobody is above the law. Certainly, I think it was like a Johnny Cornelius, I think, who threw the punch. Mm-hmm. That started everything. But it was funny, I was saying yesterday, in terms of the physicality part of things, I was like, man, they're doing a pretty good job staying off the ground today. You know, they kind of struggled with that mm-hmm. throughout the first week. And then everybody just started fighting, so all that went out the window. But, I like it. And, you know, Shotty is who he is. He's, I think, what you got to credit him for is everything that he has said he's going to be, he's been. And he hasn't changed exactly like he said he was going to do. So he's gonna try his best to make this an accountable football team, and they just got to be smarter.
You have a feature up, DallasCowboys.com, Dak Prescott taking a look in the mirror. Take us through it.
Yeah, we got to talk to Dak yesterday. For about 5 minutes, and you know, one of the things that I had noticed when I started on the beat last year was after some of the games, especially the losses that they would have when Dak was healthy, a message that we'd hear from Dak and Mike McCarthy and a bunch of other players throughout the locker room is, hey, we got to look in the mirror. We got to look in the mirror, and we got to figure out what's wrong with us and how we can move forward. So I asked him, the first question I asked him was, look, you've had a lot of time to look in that mirror, given the injury, and now you're back on the field. You know, what are you seeing in the reflection, and what do you hope you see in the reflection 6 months down the line? And he was just adamant about how he feels younger again. He feels better than he's ever been, and he feels like this team can do special things. And I closed the interview out with, I took a page out of Aaron Andrews' book from last year when she was like, finish this sentence for me. I said, Dak Prescott and the 2025 Dallas Cowboys will, he said, win the Super Bowl. So, clearly the expectation is there. And
is that your headline on the website?
That's not the headline on the website.
Good for you.
That's how I ended the article. I thought it was a good finish. I think he's had a lot of time to look in that mirror. He's had a lot of time to look in that mirror and look at himself and say, you know, how can we finally do this thing? And I think the moves that this team's made in the offseason and the guys that are around him now, Rick, you'd really argue it's one of his best surrounding cores of his career, if not the best, and it's making him feel young again.
Like the birthday boy, 22-year-old Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com, hopefully throughout the season on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thank you for joining us this week.
Anytime, fellas.
Appreciate you. You smartly did not invite Bobby to your birthday party last night.
Smart. I wish you guys would have been there.
Well, you can have a drink with him.
Too much ball known at that party.
Have a drink with him tonight and just act like it's your birthday
We'll
party.
Go out another time before you guys leave.
We're leaving tomorrow.
You're leaving tomorrow?
So we're going tonight.
We'll be tonight.
All right, there we go.
There you go.
We're talking ball.
Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com. Let's crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece next. What day is it, Bobby Belt?
Hump day?
No. Oh.
Thursday?
Is it?
Media party day.
Is it?
It's
it is.
Deadline day.
But it's still something else.
It's Tank Top Thursday, huh?
Oh, it's the day we talk ball.
Oh, yeah, let's talk some ball, fellas.
Thursday.
Let's talk some ball.
Yeah, baby.
Corey, you probably like that saying, don't you?
it doesn't bug me as much as it bugs you, but now that I know that it bugs you... Sean, know me. Once I know something bugs you a little bit, I'm going to pick up the stick and start prodding.
Hagman will be here for me. Kevin, you would roll your eyes, right? Like, y'all, for real, like, let's talk ball.
Well, Kevin,
let's break this down.
Hagee's out today.
Oh, Fred.
Hagee's over in Germany, so.
Fred, you love talking ball, don't you?
How long is he in Germany for?
Oh, my gosh.
2 weeks.
We might never see Kevin again, fella. Yeah, wow. He comes back.
He'll be back once they try their food.
We have Fred with me today, tomorrow, all next week, and then 2 days the following week. So.
Sorry, I just assumed it was Kevin because there wouldn't be another person who was rude enough not to get on the fan cam for crosstalk. So I thought it would be Kevin Hagelin again. What's your excuse, Fred?
It's beyond my control. I mean, I don't know who, I mean, or what. Aiden controls it back there, so that's his button to push, not mine.
So, Fred, we have Zoom, but you don't have a laptop with you. You have the station computer.
Oh, you got,
here's via Zoom. There's Fred.
I thought RJ was rude to producers. Fred's like, come here and put the camera on me. Set it up at my angle.
I'm a night guy, man. We fight just to have lights turned turned on in
Where's
here.
My so, one shot?
Okay, so as I was, and you know what? Shame on me, and you know what? My apologies to Aiden. He did send me a Zoom link this morning,
yeah.
which I got at 5 o'clock. I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? And then
now I know.
So I went about my business, but yeah, I didn't bring anything.
And
I brought
Fred
a notebook.
Was also confused with you in the morning filling in over commercials, right?
Well, yeah, because it's first segment, and it's like 18 after.
It's like
and,
a G-bag clock.
I'm like, man, we got to go. And he goes, what do you mean you got to go?
We have I thought we went till 20. What?
And I'm like, no, we have like 6.5 minutes, man.
Yeah.
It's, he's like, we have 90 seconds a night.
Yeah. We're like, if we get a break at the nighttime,
I've experienced those before where you're just like, 30-second break?
Every hour is an expressway at nighttime. So.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, we will. It is a Tank Top Thursday. I missed out on Tuesday. So,
okay.
And Mickey posted his video yesterday saying he's going to get his guns ready for Tank Top Thursday or Tuesday.
So do I need to take my shirt? Because I got a tank top underneath this.
Rock it.
That's what we're
rock
doing.
It. Let's rock
that's
with
what
it
we're doing.
It's supposed to be Tuesday, but I forgot this week, so I'm rocking it on a
Suns
Thursday.
Out, guns out. All right, here we go.
And Mickey's joined in on the bit, so I appreciate that. And Chiafalo is going to join us from Oxnard as well today in the expressway.
What are y'all going to talk?
Food.
God.
His internship
and
on Sean and RJ.
To talk some ball.
His internship on Sean and RJ.
Which never happened. It never happened.
Yeah. Reetma was loving hearing all that stuff, and I was like, it's not the best look if you forget.
Right. Don't worry, Jake. We'll forget you too.
I don't think we can forget Jake.
Dallas. Stores.
Stores. But I don't know. I mean, Fred, how old are you?
I am 44.
Okay, so exactly, you know, basically my age. You're right between Chop and I.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember every intern that's been around, all of them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've probably been fired more times than I've actually had interns. So that being said, But hey, real quick, because you got to love guys up when they do well and bring them down when they don't. I thought the CeeDee Lamb interview was top notch. That was
Thank you.
Got great questions. And I'll tell you what, he's a thoughtful guy.
Yes.
And I'm telling you right now, just some of his answers. And I'll tell you what, when he said something, when you guys had asked him about taking things personally. And when there was like kind of that pregnant pause when he didn't say anything. And he goes, it was crazy. I was like, I'd love to know more about that. But
Fred,
fantastic interview.
You may as well have been walking right with us off the court because Chiafalo, the first word he used was thoughtful. He nailed that. And then we were like, he almost slipped with the Micah stuff. He almost. So we said the exact same thing.
Okay.
The reason why he's always the top target for me anyway, like whenever we come here, is just because he is. It's honesty. It's thoughtfulness. He's really good at being able to communicate exactly what these things that they're working on are, whether it be the culture or the communication or whatever else. He's just good at like putting that down into simple terms and saying this is what we're trying to do.
Well, and he gives real answers, too. Like, they're not cliche. Yeah.
Oh,
they're
genuine.
Not, hey, we're just out here working, grinding every day. I mean, tell you what, I thought, and the only question I wish you guys would have asked is, are guys done bench pressing as far as workouts are concerned? He said arms and legs.
That's all they do?
Didn't mention chest and
well,
shoulders.
I think he was just saying that's his way back. Of saying upper and lower.
Gotcha.
Well, he couldn't do the shoulder this offseason, right?
Because
didn't he have
the
shoulder issue?
I mean, I'll tell you, man, it's wild. When you see them take their shoulder pads off, and you see all these guys wearing sports bras. I guarantee you, none of them football would have put that they're going to be wearing sports bras someday.
Kevin brought that up too.
CD had Capri pants on yesterday. I thought I was watching Nadal out here catching passes.
Nadal.
that Kevin brought that up too. He was like, "Is it weird that all of our heroes are wearing sports bras now?" And I was like, "Those aren't." Sports bras. What are
they? Chest protectors?
No, they're the GPS. That's the GPS.
Oh, that's the GPS.
That's the GPS.
Yeah.
You can call what you want.
I was gonna say.
You call what you want. Walk outside with those on. Everyone thinks you're wearing sports bras.
Looks like a duck. Quacks like a duck.
Choppy calls it a man's ear.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right. It's a good reference.
Yeah,
Bobby gets
great
it.
Reference.
Corey, how are you feeling about the way that the deadline is playing out so far?
For the Rangers, I feel like it's playing right into exactly what they want. They are waiting on all the other teams to do what they need to do, and then they'll say, okay, what exactly do we have to add? Can we beat these teams with this? What do we have to add? And I think they're going to...
It's going just according to plan.
So just like
going, let everyone else.
They're going to get better. We're going to stay the
How
same.
Many of these guys,
then, you know, they, we're going to go. We're going to overpay somebody.
Boy, that sounds like a mic take. The last couple of months he was here when he would talk Rangers.
How many of these guys that have gone were they even connected to or want? There are a couple of other people that are still out there and available that they would be more interested in anyway. So that's where I'm looking at that. Going, they're just trying to figure out how much they have to spend.
And are those Fred's headphones that you're messing with?
No.
What is that?
It's some tie. It was on here, and it was stringy.
Show it on the camera.
So it was stringy, so I'm just pulling it apart. Now, I think this is how they make tassels for your graduation.
Fred, did you undo your headphones this morning?
I sure did.
Okay.
I sure did. I do. I mean, I do it every day.
Yeah. Don't you want to, like, solve that? Are you like
what's the problem?
It's a nice like little therapeutic way to kind of get my show going, and you know, people are talking. I usually do it during crosstalk, and you know, handle my biz.
Fred, you're former military, right?
I am.
Is that your make my bed in the morning? Is undoing your headphones? Is that like your process?
Well, someday.
Do you make your bed?
Oh, absolutely.
Still?
Okay. Absolutely. I get up every morning. I make my bed. I make my coffee, and then I write for an hour.
What do you write?
What do you write? Whatever's
top of mind.
Your novel?
I do
whatever's
this too.
Top of mind.
I don't make my bed. I absolutely write.
Bobby, write. Hey, Bobby
write
knows.
In the morning or in the evening.
Bobby knows.
What do you write?
It's just very simple. It may be like
anything.
I'll take a topic and I'll start writing out. Like I just take an idea basically and I just want to write just to keep sharp.
That's it. Absolutely.
So you have a notebook, handwritten?
Yeah, it's no. Like I'll type. It's like, so it's on the laptop. It's on Google Drive.
Are you handwriting, Fred?
I do both. So I've got a notebook under my bed that I write in every night before I go to sleep, and then I write on the computer first thing in the morning.
Wow.
Should we guess the branch of military?
Go for it.
You guess?
I'm not gonna guess.
I don't know what it is.
I know. I know.
I don't know what it is either.
I just learned.
Well, you're
Uncle
about
Sam's Canoe Club. That's your guess. That's your hint.
Oh, okay.
Navy.
There you go. Navy, huh?
That's it.
You and Lucius.
All right.
Yeah. Back when you could still have tattoos, you know, they didn't, I guess they frown on that nowadays, but you could still do forearm tattoos back when I was in. And
they frown on tattoos? Why?
They do now. Well,
everybody has to have an anchor, right?
That's how my grandpa got all his tattoos was in the Army.
It's like that Steeler fan.
Well,
dude, that's weird.
What's
that? Okay, I'm sorry. This is weird. This is a Steeler fan.
Fred, how many tattoos do you have, by the way?
13.
No, you don't.
No, it was 14. They made him remove the barbed wire, which he doesn't have that one anymore.
This dude here. Yeah. What's so crazy to think of 13? Like, 13's a fairly meager number in today's day and age. And you
well,
got,
I don't
I mean,
think
I'm
I've
44.
Noticed. Corey, put the fan cam on him. Let me see.
He's got him on his arms.
Well, I've got a long sleeve shirt on right now.
Oh, I thought you were going to tank top Thursday.
Thursday.
It was a tank top Thursday.
Are we doing that right now?
Yeah.
Here I am, the only one without sleeves.
Oh, look at that.
I would not have guessed.
Okay, there's two there. What about on the other side? Oh, I see the left forearm. Okay.
Serenity. He's got Serenity now.
Serenity now.
Serenity now.
Why you stereotyped his tank top of what it would be? Why?
I thought it'd be a white one.
Why?
That's just the normal color for a tank.
What's
well,
that
I think
in your
I
th- world?
See, I think speaking of politically correct, the black one you would say tank top. We had to get rid of the white one. The white label.
It just looks trashy, right? I mean, let's call it what it is.
Well, I mean, it was called a white beater too.
Well, it was also a GT.
What's that?
It's the Italian tea.
It's what I told you during the break.
Oh. Yeah. What were we talking about?
The tattoo.
The tattoo, sorry.
So,
yeah. Change the subject.
This Steeler fan, her husband died, and she decided to have his tattoo of the Steelers removed from his body so she could frame it.
Wow.
They basically peeled her skin off, his skin off, framed the tattoo, and she kisses this thing goodnight. It's got the wrinkles and everything, hair on it, all that stuff.
So, Fred, you got to pick the tattoo that you regret the most or the one that you'd be willing. You got to pick one.
Yeah.
When you drop dead, Fred, we take one tattoo off and put it on the fan wall.
Oh.
Which one should we take?
Easy. Well, I do have the Astros one. I lost. I do have an Astros
and
tattoo.
Spittle hired you?
Hang on a second.
What?
It was a bad.
Hang on a second.
I do have an
Are
Astros
you taping
tattoo.
Your wrist for a radio show?
No, see,
he broke his finger.
Unlike the morning show, I actually go to the gym.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Unlike the morning show, I go to the gym
when you're out of town
and lift heavy weight.
Do you have a gym in every city? No, I do.
LA Fitness, you can go damn near anywhere.
LA Fitness, they have carpet on the floor. That's not a gym.
Wow, Fred.
We need a choppy Fred gym off.
Yeah, we absolutely will. Absolutely. Hey, whenever you get back, because I'll be here all week, next week too. So. Push-ups, whatever. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do.
Push-ups. Okay. Push-ups.
Hey. Whatever you want to do.
Anyway, you're taping your wrist.
No, well, I've got a wrist problem, man. And pause. It's just... I like to get myself a stranger every now and again. But no.
All right. It's starting.
Very off,
I like
to be.
Tendonitis of the wrist.
What's your tattoo?
It's a genie. That's the one I would put on the wall. It was a real quick story. It was 1999. We had just graduated search and rescue swimmer school. You do the Navy thing. Let's go get tattoos. This guy was so old, this tattoo artist, that he had a box with that lit up, and he traced it. Okay, I don't even know if this. I mean, I don't even know if that's even a thing anymore.
Like an overhead projector?
No, like a box. Like when I say a box, I mean a box on the like a shoe box, and he had a light that he lit up, and he traces this genie, and it was either between that or a Joker. I went with the genie, and boom, here we are, 26 years later.
There it is. The KNC masterpiece taken over. We're back tomorrow morning with the final show from Oxnard right here on The Fan.